Okay, one other announcement, not in the bulletin. If you're interested in getting a CD of all the messages at the conference, they're available at a good price. They're free. So just sign up, and those will be made up for you. Okay, let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. Once again, Philippians chapter 4. And last week we looked at the first part of verse 7. This morning we want to look at the second part of verse 7. But for the context, let's begin in verse 6. Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time in your word. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being able to gather together in the name of Christ and opening the word of God. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would use the truth in this passage in each one of our lives for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name. Our passage today focuses on the hearts and the minds of the believer in Jesus Christ. And in particular, Paul tells us that it guards and protects our minds and hearts, God's peace. And that tells us also that God cares about our minds. He cares what we think about. He cares about our hearts. He cares about our emotions. And that's because God is the great shepherd who cares for his sheep. In fact, he is called the great shepherd and the bishop or the overseer of our souls. So we have an overseer over our inner man for the believer in Christ, and that is the Lord Jesus. And our loving Heavenly Father cares about us as well. So we're looking at that at the end of verse 7, where Paul tells us that the peace of God, which is indescribable, keeps our hearts and minds. Now, what Paul is describing here is really the inner man of the believer. Our body is the outer man, physical part, but the inner man is everything inside, our mind and our heart. And the mind is that capacity to think, to remember, which I'm losing, to contemplate, to meditate, to imagine, our entire thought life. And the heart in the Bible includes the mind. Remember, Solomon said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So we think in our heart, but it also includes our emotions and our feelings. And it includes the intentions of our heart. We read that in Hebrews chapter 4, where the author speaks about the thoughts and the intentions of our heart. So the heart speaks of our thought life, our emotions, our motives, our goals, all of that, the inner life of a person. And of course, our thoughts and our feelings are intertwined. What we think affects the way we feel, and what we feel affects the way we think. Remember, we're one unit. But this morning, what we want to look at is God's provision for that inner man, God's provision for our heart, our mind, and our emotions. And here he tells us that the peace of God, that indescribable peace of God, keeps our minds and hearts. And that tells us, the fact that our hearts and minds need keeping indicates that our hearts and minds are really pretty vulnerable, fragile, sensitive. And our hearts and minds are easily affected by our circumstances, by our environment, by things that are going on around us. Whether those events or things be joyous or whether they be miserable, they affect the way we think and the way we feel. And God is concerned, as the bishop of our souls, about the way we think, and we'll look at that in verse 8, and our hearts as well. And as you just think through the context here, in verse 4, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. God wants us to be joyous. In verse 6, he says, be anxious or worry about nothing. In verse 7, he wants us to experience the peace of God. In verse 11, he talks about being content in whatever lot in life we find ourselves. So it is not the will of our Heavenly Father for a Christian to be torn apart by worry and anxiety and fear. It is God's will for every one of us to rejoice and to be at peace in the inner man. And this, by the way, is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, etc. And this should be the norm for the Christian life. So in spite of our earthly circumstances, and they can be pretty miserable at times, God doesn't want us to be worrying and filled with anxiety. He wants us to be filled with the joy of the Lord. And he doesn't want us to be focusing on our miserable earthly circumstances, but rather he wants us to learn to be content in Christ. And this joy, this contentment, this peace that God has promised for us is the normal, healthy environment for the inner man if spiritual growth is really going to take place. And we're warned here because that healthy environment of love, joy, and peace in the heart can easily be invaded and breached by our enemy, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And because of that, God has provided something to protect our inner man. And that protection comes via the peace of God that passes all understanding, that's beyond our comprehension. And this is what we want to focus on today. But I know if we're all honest, myself included, we don't always experience the peace of God every day. We're not always rejoicing in the Lord as we ought to be. And the fault does not lie with God. The fault does not lie with others. The fault does not lie with the economy. It does not lie with our current events. It does not lie with our earthly circumstances. The fault lies with the weakness of our own fallen flesh. We are all affected by the fall of Adam. We were in Adam when he fell. And thus, every part of us has been totally affected by sin, including our minds and our hearts, affected by sin. Originally, God gave us a mind that we might know God and have fellowship with Him. That's why God gave us a mind. God also gave us a heart, so that we might love the Lord with all of our heart and love righteousness and love one another. That's why God created the heart. But the fall of man, Adam's fall, corrupted our minds and our hearts. And just let me read some passages to remind us of verses that we're familiar with. Paul says in Colossians chapter 1 that we are born as enemies of God. That's how we're born, in our minds. Our minds are at enmity with God. And Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, "For they that are after the flesh, the unsaved, mind the things of the flesh." We pay attention, we think about fleshly things. "And to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded, to be alive unto God and filled with the Spirit, to be spiritually minded is life and peace." We need to be aware of what a cesspool our heart really is, potentially. Jesus said, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies, and these are the things that defile a man." So our hearts are not in good shape all by themselves. In fact, Jeremiah said, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" And this is true of me and you and every other person on the planet. The heart of man is sinful and deceitful and desperately wicked. And we don't even understand the depth of our own depravity. Our minds and our hearts have been totally corrupted by sin. And because of that, we think evil thoughts sometimes. And our emotions are evil sometimes. Sometimes we delight when our enemy is hurt. And that's sin. Jesus said, "Love your enemies and pray for those that despitefully mistreat you." That doesn't come naturally for our old nature. We don't love to, it doesn't come naturally to love our enemy. We like to get him back, but that's sin. And if the believer, even though we're born again, even in the life of a believer, if we allow our mind and our emotions to just run wild, they are going to take us to a very dark and sinful place. Because our minds and hearts, our thoughts and our emotions are fragile and easily degraded. And thus they need to be handled with care. And that's what Paul's getting at in Philippians 4. Our hearts and minds need to be under the control of the Holy Spirit all the time. And that's the real spiritual battle that we face. The problem that every one of us face is a spiritual battle is raging in our minds as to what we think and in our hearts as to how we feel, our emotions. And in the context here of Philippians 4, Paul is dealing with the fact that our hearts are easily filled with worry and anxiety and fear. And that's why Paul says, be anxious for nothing. It's our nature to worry. It's our nature to be afraid. It comes easily to us. Nobody ever had to learn how to worry. And our minds become troubled, like Martha. Jesus said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful or anxious about many things. And you know, today there are a lot of things to worry about. People worry about Ebola. People worry about World War III breaking out. People worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. We worry about our health. We worry about our families. We worry about our children. And most of the things that we worry about, of course, never happen. But boy, don't think that's going to stop us from worrying. And then we justify our worrying by saying, I can't help it. I'm just human. Everybody worries. Well, that may be true, that we're just human and everybody worries. But it's still sin to worry, no matter how many people do it. Our passage tells us not to worry. We're to be anxious for nothing. And it also tells us that God has provided a shield of protection for our mind and for our heart. And we need that shield. And a few weeks ago, we looked in verse 6 where God gives us his answer to worry. We're to take all the burdens of our mind and our heart, and we're to take these requests to God, and we're to leave those burdens at the mercy seat. And we're to trust God to take care of things that are beyond our control. We're to trust God to handle things that we aren't able to handle. We're to cast our care upon him because he cares for us, as Peter said. Or as David wrote, we are to cast our burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain us. And when we cast our burdens upon the Lord, when we cast our anxieties upon God, then we're removing that clog in the conduit from God's heart to ours. And then, once that clog is removed, the peace of God is free to fill our hearts. And that's the normal Christian life. And God fills us with the peace of God, a supernatural peace. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And that's a promise from God. It's a work that God does in us, something that we could never do ourselves. It's indescribable. It's beyond our capacity to describe. Our minds and our hearts are fragile because of the weakness of fallen flesh, because of our sinful nature within. And that's why God has provided supernatural ability to experience victory over a weakened thought life and a weakened emotional nature. You know, our minds just don't have what it takes to think the way we ought to think. We always seem to gravitate towards evil or gravitate towards something negative or gravitate towards something worthless. And our hearts just don't have what it takes to have emotions that are appropriate. We always gravitate towards worry and fear and anxiety and jealousy and hatred and bitterness and resentment. That's why we need God to intervene. That's why the believer needs to yield to the Lord and allow the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His controlling influence. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, gentleness, etc. And not to mention at the end of the list, temperance, which is self-control. We don't have the ability to control our own thought life. We don't have the ability to control our own emotions. And if we allow them to run wild, they will take us very far away from God, very far away from holiness, very far away from fellowship with one another. And when we allow our old nature to dominate, we can expect the fruit of the flesh, not the fruit of the Spirit. But when the believer in Jesus Christ is willing to get to the place of absolute surrender and just yield himself to the Lord and is willing to say no to the flesh and yes to the Holy Spirit and confess our sin of worry and bitterness and envy and anxiety and cast those upon the Lord, then God promises He will fill us with a peace that is indescribable and self-control. And in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7, Paul tells us that the peace of God keeps our minds and hearts. He sustains us by His peace. Now, this word keep in Philippians 4, 7 means to guard. It means to preserve, to keep something safe, to protect it. And so here, Paul is saying that God's peace, which is beyond our capacity to comprehend, we can experience it but just can't comprehend it, that peace of God is like a military God guarding our minds and our hearts. And it's the same word that Peter used when he said that we are kept by the power of God unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. God's peace keeps our minds and hearts. It protects our minds. You know, the Lord knows. He's the Creator. He knows the frailty of our minds and hearts. And that's why He provided a shield. That's why He provided a God, protector. Now, I like Kenneth Weiss' comments on this. He said, God's peace, like a sentinel, mounts God and patrols before the heart's door, keeping worry out. You know, the Creator of our minds and hearts knows what makes us tick. And He knows what we need. He knows all about the vulnerability of our minds, our thought life, and our emotions. And He knows how to protect them and keep them safe and healthy. He knows what a hostile environment the world is and how vulnerable we are in the world. You know, if left to ourselves, in our enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil, we are easy prey to have our minds go right where they ought not to go, to have our hearts have affections on things that they ought not to be having affection for. Now, in our passage in Philippians 4, the subject of the verb keep is peace. It's the peace of God that protects. Remember we said in 1 Peter 1 where we're kept by the power of God? It's easy to understand that concept. When we think of protection, we think of power. We need somebody strong to protect us. And God is strong. We're kept by the power of God unto salvation. But when it comes to our minds and hearts, He doesn't say that we're kept by the power of God. He says we are kept by the peace of God. That's a little unexpected. And it tells us how absolutely essential and necessary peace is to the Christian life. It's not something extra like gravy. It's nice to have, but you really don't need it. No, peace is necessary. And without peace, our minds and hearts become susceptible and vulnerable to falling into evil thoughts and wrong emotions. Turn over to Colossians chapter 3 in verse 15. We need peace more than we often think. In Colossians chapter 3 in verse 15, Paul writes to the believers in Colossae who weren't always experiencing peace either. They just happened to be human beings as well. And he says to them, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." This passage tells us something else about the power of peace. It tells us that peace is to rule in our heart. And the word for rule here means to govern, to control, to direct everything, to be in charge. And this verb speaks of the position that the peace of God is to have in the mind and the heart of the believer. It is a ruling position, a governing position. And here, Paul uses the present tense, which means this is to be a continuous action. And it's an imperative, it's a command. So we are commanded, not an option, we are commanded to continually allow God's peace to be in that ruling position in our minds and in our hearts. And when we do that in the local assembly, when each individual believer has God's peace ruling in his or her heart, then the body corporately will have the peace of God ruling. And that's why we are to let this happen. Allow God's Spirit to fill us. In other words, don't clog it up with all of our worries and fears and rebellion and resistance. And note also that the peace of God ruling in our hearts, that's our calling. We've been called to that as Christians. There's something very powerful about the peace of God. It was intended by God to rule, to dominate our hearts and our minds. And when we allow it to rule, it has a protecting influence. It keeps us safe and sound and stable in our minds and hearts. Peace and joy, in Philippians 4, strengthen the inner man. We need it to live the Christian life. And I like what Nehemiah said. He said, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." The joy of the Lord is your strength. It really does strengthen the inner man. And that has an effect on our whole being. I know as a jogger that when I'm really down in the dumps, a mile seems like 10 miles to run. But when I'm in a good spirit, not so much. It's easy. And I think that's what Nehemiah was getting at. The joy of the Lord really does change our whole inner man, our spirit, our attitude. And we need that. And turn to Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17. In verse 22. Here Solomon wrote, "A merry heart doeth good like medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." Here Solomon speaks about a merry heart in contrast to a broken spirit. Now a merry heart is a heart that's filled with joy and peace. It's content. And that's a healthy heart. And that merry heart leads to a solid, stable, strong heart, a strong inner man. In other words, a merry heart, joyous and at peace, restores the inner man. And it makes that a sick heart strong and healthy, just like medicine makes a sick body strong and healthy. What medicine does to the body restores and refreshes, so a merry heart does to the inner person. And so experiencing joy and peace, we shouldn't think of them as something special that happens once in a while. it's intended by God to be the normal Christian life. And we need it. Our inner man needs love, joy, and peace just as much as our outer man or our body needs air and food and water. These are essentials. God tells us what we need. Just think of a heart without peace. You know, if our physical body doesn't have food, air, and water, what's going to happen? We're going to wither up and die. If our inner man, our mind and our heart, doesn't have peace, joy, and contentment, we'll also wither up. And as Solomon said, a broken spirit drieth the bones. You know, you're not going to survive with a broken spirit for too long. You'll crack. That's not the way God intended his people to live. A broken spirit dries the bones. What a picture. Dry, dead, lifeless, dried to the very core. Solomon also said, heaviness in the heart maketh it stoop. You can just picture someone all stooped over in heaviness. They don't have the strength to stand. He says in chapter 15, a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. And then he says in chapter 18, a wounded spirit, who can bear? And the answer is nobody. It's unbearable. So God is telling us that our inner man needs what God's Holy Spirit provides. The Creator knows what we need. And it's not God's will for his people to walk around in heaviness, stooped over with a broken, wounded spirit. God didn't create us. God didn't save us to walk around discouraged and depressed and defeated and worried and fear and anxiety and bitterness and all the rest. God created us that we might have fellowship with him. And as we focus on that, and the Spirit of God will fill us with love, joy, and peace, that's the normal Christian life. But we do know, and we probably all experienced at one time or another, that our hearts can be wounded in the battles of life. Things happen that cause us to be distracted and cause us to be filled with worry and anxiety. And so our minds and hearts need protection. They need to be guarded. And that's where God's peace comes in. The peace of God, when it fills the heart, there's no room for worry and fear and anxiety. And it's not because sad things will never happen to us. It's not because fearful things will never happen to us. It's not because worrisome things will never happen to us. The reason that God is able to fill our hearts with love, joy, and peace is because Christ dwells within. And his Holy Spirit enables the believer to manifest the life of Christ. He was never defeated a moment in his life, even on the cross. He was a victor. He rose from the dead. When God's peace fills us, there's no room for worry. And I like what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4. He says, we're troubled on every side, but not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. In other words, bad things kept happening to Paul, but he wasn't going to let it get him down. And why? Because he knew that he was always bearing in his body the dying of the Lord Jesus. He suffered persecution. But in the midst of the persecution, the life of the indwelling Christ was able to be manifested through him, that resurrection life of joy and peace. It was God who created us with a body, a soul, and a spirit. And we take good care of our bodies. We feed them well, we exercise, and that's good and normal. But our minds and hearts also need to be taken care of. Now we know in other passages we need God's word. That renews our mind. It refreshes our mind. It transforms us into the image of Christ. We know that in many other passages, but we're studying Philippians 4:7 now. And Philippians 4:7 tells us that we also need the joy and the peace of God if our inner man is going to be refreshed and free from anxiety and worry and fear and jealousy and bitterness and resentment and frustration and all the rest. We need to take care of our bodies, sure, but we also need to take care of our inner man. If we don't allow peace to rule in our hearts, if we don't have the peace of God protecting our minds and hearts, we are susceptible to the attacks of our adversary, the devil. And that's why it's so important to deal with the issues of the heart in a biblical manner. Like Solomon said, keep the heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. Everything flows from our heart. And so Christianity is at its very core a heart relationship with the risen Savior, a new life in Christ. And God has given us some instructions in Philippians chapter 4, and let's turn back there, some simple instructions if we want to experience a heart that's free from anxiety and fear and worry. The first thing we're to do is to rejoice in the Lord always. That's a command. Now, he's not telling us to feel happy all the time. Rather, he's telling us to rejoice in the Lord. That's not based on earthly circumstances. Even when there's no fruit in the vine, we can still rejoice in the Lord. Even when things are miserable down here, we can still rejoice in our risen Savior. Our position in him never changes. And in verse 6, we're told to be careful or anxious for nothing. We are not to worry, not even in one little thing. And as we noted in our responsive reading from Matthew 6, worry is the opposite of trusting God. God wants us to trust him as implicitly as a little bird trusts them when they're out chirping away and looking for worms. Just trusting that God will take care of us today and tomorrow. We don't need to hoard the worms up for another month. That would be a disgusting picture. One at a time is sufficient. And when we focus on things above, we really don't have anything to worry about down here. Because when our life is, we see our life is hidden with Christ in God. We are safe in his hands. We are lifted and dwelling in the heavenly places, free from all the turmoil of life down here. And that's where we abide in Christ Jesus, and the fruit of the Spirit can be manifested in us no matter what's happening around us. And let's face it, some pretty lousy things, fearful things, are happening around us in the world today. And thirdly, in this context, we're to let our requests be made known unto God. When fearful things happen, when troublesome things upset us, we're to take those burdens to the throne of grace, to the mercy seat. We're to cast our care upon the Lord and leave those cares with God, because we believe that God cares for us. And if we really believe that, we'll leave them there. And then we're not to allow our mind to dwell on bad thoughts, on bitterness and resentment, or sorrow or anxiety or fear. And Paul's going to tell us what to think about in verse 8. And we're not to allow our hearts to become troubled or bitter or anxious or sad. Sure, there's a season for that, but we don't dwell in that. That's not the Christian life. We're to take those burdens to the Lord. And this is to be an ongoing practice of the Christian life. We're to pray without ceasing. We're to be casting our burdens upon the Lord without ceasing. And if we fulfill our responsibilities in this context, God has a promise for you. And the promise is that God's peace, that is indescribable, will protect your mind and heart and keep it safe. God will protect our whole inner man from further worry and anxiety. We can just rest in the fact that God is sovereign, he's omnipotent, he knows all things, he loves us, and he's going to handle everything. and we can trust Him for tomorrow. And when God's peace is allowed, when we let the peace of God rule in our hearts, even if we might see that we are embroiled in war or difficulties or controversies and conflicts in the world around us, God can give us a poise and a peace and an inner rest that the world knows nothing of. God brings deliverance, the fruit of the Spirit, beyond our ability to produce, but it's a promise if we rest in the Lord. And it's available in Jesus Christ every day. And that's what we sang that little chorus from Isaiah 26. Thou wilt keep his soul in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. God's promise is available at all times. And then, notice at the end of Philippians 4 and verse 7, this is all through Jesus Christ. It's all true because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The shed blood of Jesus Christ, He died for our sins, and therefore He made peace with God possible. Justification, salvation. We were enemies of God, but Jesus died in our place. He paid the penalty of our sin in full. He died for the sins of the whole world. And whosoever believes in Him, God gives them everlasting life. He's justified forever. And therefore the enemy is now at peace with God. That's called reconciliation. And so the one who is now reconciled, he's made his peace with God, he can experience the peace of God in his heart. And that too is through Jesus Christ, our high priest in heaven, who's praying for us. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is called the Prince of Peace. In Colossians 1, Paul refers to him, he says, He, Christ, is our peace. He died for us that we might have peace with God. He lives in us that we might experience the peace of God. And all of this is through Jesus Christ. Remember what was announced at His birth? Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. That's why God sent His Son. The world rejected Him at His first coming, but He's coming again, the Prince of Peace. And until He comes again, He offers peace to the individual if we will do nothing more than to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. He will give us new life. Have you trusted in Jesus Christ? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. He's the only way to get to the Father, through Jesus Christ and His shed blood. And I love the words in John 6, when Jesus said, He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Doesn't matter where you're coming from. Doesn't matter what you've done in the past. If you come to Christ in simple childlike faith, He will receive you and give you everlasting life. That's so simple, a child could believe and be saved. And that's what God wants for us. He's the Prince of Peace. And Jesus Christ offers peace, new life, and joy to those that come to Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the good news of all that was accomplished on the cross of Calvary, even the peace of God that passes understanding. Father, we thank You, Lord, for the protecting power of peace. And Lord, help us to protect our hearts by doing our responsibility, fulfilling our responsibility, by walking in the Spirit so that we don't fulfill the lusts of the flesh, including worry. Father, help us to allow Your Spirit to fill us, to change us, that the fruit of the Spirit might be manifested in our lives day by day and year after year. Lord, we need it. And we look to You for it, that we might be strengthened with might in the inner man by Your Spirit. And we'll thank You for this in Jesus' name. Amen.